If you'd like to turn your Bibles, 2 Corinthians chapter 5. As we look into God's Word together, just pray that God will use it in our hearts. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, beginning in verse 14 of 2 Corinthians chapter 5. The Bible says, "For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Wherefore henceforth know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ did, be ye reconciled to God. For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." So the ministry of reconciliation. That's the title of our message this morning. Heavenly Father, please use your word in our hearts this morning. Thank you for the privilege to be here and open your word together. Lord, we come with expectant hearts. And I pray you'd work miracles in our lives, Lord, and every believer would grow through your word this morning. And Lord, for someone in our service that's not born again, may they realize that Jesus Christ died and rose again for them, that they might have eternal life and be saved today. And so we give you our service. Pray you'll be with us and you'll be magnified in the service. We ask it in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. So in this passage, the Lord is reminding us of all the wonderful things he did for us as Christians, and also reminding us that now that we are his children, he's given us a ministry. And that ministry, he refers to it as the ministry of reconciliation. And all of us have been assigned to be involved in this ministry as God's children. Because as Paul mentioned there in verse 14, he says, "The love of Christ constraineth us." That word "constrain" means to press or to compel. When we reflect upon the love of Christ and what it meant to us and means to us through his death and his resurrection, it should constrain us. It should compel us to want to do something for him. And that's what Paul is saying. He says, because of the love of Christ, I'm constrained to act in a certain way. I'm constrained to be one of his disciples. I'm constrained to tell as many people as I can what God did for me. And the love of Christ should constrain us as well. You know, Jesus said, "If you love me, keep my commandments." And so we should be pressed or compelled or constrained by the love of Jesus Christ and what he did for us. Because as it says in verse 14, we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. Why is the ministry of reconciliation important? Because people are going to hell. That's why. All dead. The Bible says, "Wherefore, as by one man death entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned," in Romans 5:12. Until we are saved, the Bible says, we're dead. The Bible says in Ephesians 2:1, "You hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins." The Bible teaches that when we are born, we're born dead. We're born with a dead spirit. We have our body, we have our soul, but our spirit is dead. And until that spirit is given life, until it's quickened with the Holy Spirit's life, we're dead. And if we choose not to receive Jesus Christ and his life, we remain dead. And that's why it tells us at the end of the Bible, talking about the future judgment, death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And so we should be constrained by the love of Jesus Christ. But what motivated him was that men are dead and on our way to hell without Jesus Christ. And that should compel us, should constrain us to be involved in this ministry that God has given to us. Because it says, we're all dead in verse 15, and that he died for all. That's the message of the gospel. Yes, all are dead, but when Jesus died on the cross, he died for all. When John the Baptist saw Jesus coming to him at the beginning of Christ's ministry, there in John chapter 1, he says, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Jesus Christ, when he died on the cross, he died for the sins of the whole world. The Bible says he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world, in 1 John 2:2. Jesus Christ died for all. And that's why God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance, as we read in 2 Peter 3:9. Jesus died for all. All are dead. The love of Christ should constrain us to want to do something about that. And so it says there in verse 15, that they which live should henceforth not live unto themselves, but unto Him. All are dead, but when we receive Jesus Christ, we are alive. Praise God. He that hath the Son hath life, the Bible says. And Jesus said, he that liveth and believeth in me shall never die. In John chapter 11, verse 26. Once we receive Jesus Christ, we receive life. We receive eternal life. That's the gift of eternal life. As we read in Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. But it says, those which live, verse 15, that's us, they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto Him. Now that we're His children, now that He's bought us, now that He's done everything for us, God says He wants us to live not for ourselves, but for Him. You know, the Apostle Paul said, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. He says, but the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. He said, I have a new life now. I have God's life. And I'm going to live my life for God. And we're told in 1 Corinthians 6:20, you're bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. And it says in verse 15, and He died for them and rose again. Well, that's essentially the gospel, isn't it? That all are dead, that He died for all, and that He rose again. That's the good news of the gospel. That Jesus Christ died on the cross, and He was buried, and He rose again. Matter of fact, if you look at 1 Corinthians 15, back to the left a little bit, Paul defines this as the simple statement of the gospel of Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 15, look at verse 3. He says, for I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. You know, when we tell people about Jesus Christ, this is what we tell them. That we're all dead in sin. That God became a man. That He died for our sins. That He was buried. That He rose again for our justification. That's the gospel. That He rose again for us. So back to our passage this morning. The Bible says the love of Christ should constrain us. Why? Because man is going to hell without Jesus Christ. That's why. And he says, verse 17, Therefore what? Well, because Christ died for us, because Christ rose again for us, because the love of Christ constrains us, he says, therefore, if any man be in Christ... So Jesus died, He rose again. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Hallelujah. If you're born again this morning, the Bible says you are in Christ. The Bible says in Romans 8:1, there is no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. We are placed into Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, the Bible teaches. 1 Corinthians 12:13. We are in Christ. The Bible says if we are in Christ, we are a new creature. That's why Jesus calls it born again. We're born a new person into a new family with a new father. We're a new creature. Look at Galatians 6, if you would, over to the right. Just a couple of books. Galatians 6, verse 15. Actually, from 2 Corinthians, it's just one book. Galatians 6:15. The Bible says, for in Christ Jesus neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creature. In other words, if you want to get to heaven, it doesn't matter whether you're circumcised or uncircumcised. It matters whether or not you're a new creature. That's it. Because you're only a new creature if you've received Jesus Christ. And He is the way, the truth, and the life. and no man goes unto the Father but by Him. The Bible teaches that when we're born again, we are made new. We are a peculiar people, as it tells us in Titus 2:14. Zealous of good works. We're new. And God's trying to say, I want you to live a new life. I want you to not only be singing a new song, but I want you to act like a new creature by fulfilling this ministry of reconciliation. Because the Bible says old things are passed away there in verse 17 of 2 Corinthians 5. All things are become new. Say, oh, you mean when we're Christians, things are supposed to be different? Yeah. We're a new creature. We're part of a new family. We have a new home. It's all new. Before we're saved, the Bible says our father's the devil. Jesus told the Pharisees, the religious leaders of the day, that said, you are of your father, the devil. After we're born again, God's our father. Everything's new. All things are become new. You think God wants us to live like things are new? Absolutely. The love of Christ should constrain us to act like that new creature that we are. And so notice verse 18. This is the heart of what we're after this morning. And all things are of God who hath reconciled us to Himself by Jesus Christ. Jesus died on the cross and rose again. He did something that's never happened before. And that is, He reconciled man to God. Up until that time, man and God were at enmity one with another. And really had no hope of ever being reconciled. Because man, there's nothing that we can offer that can deal with the sin problem. And so we can never be reconciled with a holy God in our own strength, in our own works, our own anything. But when Jesus Christ died on the cross, He changed all that. He reconciled us. Go to Colossians chapter 1, verse 20. I'll show you how God describes it here. Colossians chapter 1, verse 20. The Bible says, and having made peace through the blood of His cross, by Him to reconcile all things unto Himself, by Him I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. When Jesus died on that cross, He reached up to the Father and He reached down to man and He reconciled us. And now we can have peace with God again. Now we can have access to God again. Before that, it wasn't possible to actually enter into the presence of Almighty God at His throne in heaven. Now it is. The Bible says in Hebrews 4:16, we can come boldly unto the throne of grace. Why? Because we've been reconciled to God through the blood of Jesus Christ, our Savior. And then notice back in our passage, verse 18, God hath reconciled us to Himself by Jesus Christ and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. The love of Christ should compel us to be involved in this ministry. Every Christian has been assigned to this ministry. Now on earth, when it comes to church things, we all have different ministries. Some people teach Sunday school. Some people sing. Some people try to play the piano. All different ministries. But every Christian has been given this ministry, the ministry of reconciliation. The ministry of reaching out to man with the answer so that he can be reconciled to God. Now, we can't reconcile anybody. We're just sinful man. But we have the message. We have the gospel to where they can find reconciliation through Jesus Christ and His gospel. You know, the Bible tells us in Romans 10:15, how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them which preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. That's talking about us. Preach the gospel and bring glad tidings. Could there be a better tiding to bring than your Creator loved you so much that He was willing to become a man and die in your place and rise again and gives you eternal life as a gift? That's the greatest story that could ever be told. That's the glad tidings. That's our ministry. The ministry of reconciliation. Notice it says in verse 19, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. So we have been assigned the ministry of reconciliation, and we have been given the word of reconciliation. God's told us what they need to hear, the gospel. And he has committed that to who? Verse 19, unto us. Not them, us. Those of us that are born again, that are new creatures in Jesus Christ, God hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. That's the gospel. That's why Jesus, before he left, in every gospel, right before he went to heaven, he gave us that ministry. Matthew 28, what's he say? Go ye therefore teach all nations, baptizing them. Mark 16, go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. Luke 24, that everyone should know that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. John chapter 20, as my Father hath sent me, even so send I you. Acts chapter 1, ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me. Right before he left, that was our assignment. Jesus gave us a ministry, and he gave us a word. The word and the ministry of reconciliation. And he expounds upon that in verse 20. He says, now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. So we aren't Christ. We are ambassadors for Christ. It says, as though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead. You know, when we were studying Revelation this morning, it was interesting that when Cornelius got saved, God sent an angel down to say to Cornelius, as he was praying, Cornelius, go find Peter. Well, he already sent an angel. Why didn't the angel just tell him how to be saved? Why send him to Peter? Because that's the way God works in this age. He uses us. He uses man to tell man about God. He's given us this word of reconciliation. He's made us the ambassadors. The angels aren't the ambassadors during this age. We are. And we have been assigned a ministry to be representatives of Jesus Christ. That's what ambassador means. That is our new job, if you want to call it that. To be an ambassador on behalf of Jesus. As he says in verse 20, we pray you in Christ's stead. In other words, when we go and we share the gospel with someone, according to God's word, it's as if Jesus is sharing the gospel with that person in Christ's stead. Because you know what? When we witness to people, we're supposed to do it in the Spirit, yielded to the Spirit, full of the Spirit, which means really Jesus is witnessing to that person through us. But we're doing it in Christ's stead. And what are we supposed to say to them? Verse 20, be ye reconciled to God. That's why it's called the ministry of reconciliation. We're to go out there and say, you need to be reconciled to God. Why? Because you are a sinner. You've broken God's laws. Because of that, you deserve to go to hell. But God loves you. He loves you so much that he became a man and died on your place and rose again. And he is willing to be reconciled with you, but you must come to him on his terms, through his Son, and be saved. Be ye reconciled to God. That is our ministry, to tell people that. Verse 21, for he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin. Think about what that says. When Jesus hung on that cross, he became sin. He didn't just take sin. You know, a lot of people say the sins of man were placed on Jesus, and that's true. But this is saying more than that. This is saying he hath made him to be sin. Which explains why for 3 hours in the middle of the day, the Bible says the sky went dark. And why Jesus cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Because for those 3 hours, Jesus didn't just take on sin, Jesus became sin. That's pretty amazing. that he was willing to do that on our behalf. The Bible says in Isaiah 53, all we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He became sin as he hung on that cross. He hath made him to be sin. Look at the exchange. Verse 21, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. What an exchange. Jesus became sin, and we get his righteousness. He did all that for us. And in return, he gives us righteousness. We don't earn it. We don't pay for it. It's a gift. That we might be made the righteousness of God in him. When we are saved, when we are placed into him, we are given the righteousness of Jesus Christ. We actually become righteous. That's called justification. It's one of the most amazing doctrines. That God not only forgives our sin, which is the negative aspect of our salvation, God actually declares us righteous. It's pretty amazing. Look at Romans chapter 3, if you would, in verse 22. Again, talking about God's righteousness, which is the reason why we can't get to heaven on our own, because God is righteous. The only way you can get to heaven is to be perfectly righteous. Well, since we're all sinners, that's impossible. It takes supernatural intervention for that to happen, which is called salvation, imputed righteousness. You know, a lot of people out there are trying to earn their way to heaven. You ask them, they say, oh, I'm probably going to go to heaven. I'm not a horrible person. I'm pretty good. Pretty good doesn't cut it. If you've sinned once, the Bible says you're a sinner. And if you're a sinner, you can't go to heaven because you're not righteous. Sounds like you need help. Notice Romans 3, the Bible says, verse 22, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that what? Believe. Not earn it, not work hard for it, but believe. When you believe on Jesus Christ, you receive the righteousness of Christ. That's called salvation. That we might be made the righteousness of God in him. And this is the good news. This is the word of reconciliation that God wants us to share with the world. He calls it this ministry of reconciliation. That we are the ambassadors. We're the ones that have been assigned to take this great story called the gospel to a lost and dying world. And just tell them, let me tell you what happened to me. God saved me. God made me one of his children. God gave me the righteousness of Jesus Christ because of what Jesus did on the cross and the fact that he rose again. The ministry of reconciliation. It is the love of Christ that should constrain us to be involved in this ministry. That we might tell others, Jesus died for man, Jesus rose again for man, and I'm telling you, on behalf of Jesus Christ, in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. It's possible through Jesus Christ. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. It's only through Jesus. It's our job to tell people. So we've been assigned a ministry. God says, I've done everything for you. I've paid for your sins. I've given you eternal life. I've given you a home in heaven, even a mansion. You get to walk on streets of gold someday. There'll be no more sorrow, no more death, no more crying. The former things will all be passed away. I'm giving you all of this as a gift. What he asks in return is that we now fulfill our ministry and tell others like someone told us. That's called the ministry of reconciliation. It's beautiful. And God wants us to be involved. I hope we are. Let's pray.